hello and welcome in again to the Worship Life Podcast with Mike Harlan, coming to you as always from the B.B. McKinney Studios in Nashville. Mike, I'm excited to be here today, my
Brian,
friend.
Brian, it's a wonderful day to be alive and to be at Lifeway.
And where else would you want to be at Lifeway but the B.B. McKinney Studios?
The opulent.
Yes, they are opulent.
What was the word you used?
Festooned.
Festooned.
And after looking that word up, I'm not sure they are festooned.
Well,
but it's a beautiful room is what I wanted to say.
You know what? We're blessed.
Absolutely.
We are blessed. And what a privilege to talk to our Worship Life audience. We continue to be blown away by the people that listen to this podcast. So thank you, thank you, thank you, and for writing us and for telling us about your church. I've got a phone call after we record this. I'm talking to a worship pastor over in Arkansas that listens to our podcast and wanted to follow up on something with me. I mean, we love conversations like that.
Absolutely. And I love, Mike, that we get emails from all around the world, not limited just to the United States. And that's the beautiful nature of this technology.
It is.
In ministries all around the world.
So we have Tim Henning.
Talk about worship.
Tim Henning a few feet away
our
from
engineer,
us.
Our engineer,
yes. The Red Box guy.
Right.
I wonder if people are aware of the Unpacking the Red Box video.
It's great.
Tim and Craig Adams, our creative director, do.
If you have any kind of a choral music ministry, youth music ministry, children's music ministry, the Red Box is the resource. And it comes out 3 times a year, and it's filled with everything that we produce for church music ministry. And Tim and our creative director, Craig Adams, sit there and they literally open the box and unpack and give an explanation.
So
what would be great is to get your Red Box and watch that video with
us. So my question for you is, did they ask you to be part of that video?
They didn't, and I'm a little hurt.
They didn't ask me either.
Yeah, that's probably why it's so concise and informative.
Yeah, thank you, Brian. they needed it. I think they needed a little FaceTime without me. So
I think that's what it is.
Really is good. I think it's well done. They did a good job with that.
They do a great job. And so many thousands and thousands of churches rely on the Red Box.
So it just seems like around here, that's another example of a change. We're redesigning SunPower, our premier event in the summer. It's changing.
Yeah, a student event.
You know, I think about all the children's worship resources that we're planning for and working on. And the key word is change.
Well, change around Lifeway, Mike. You know, a lot of people know our president, Tom Rainer's, announced that he's going to be retiring as of August or whenever a new president is named. So that's change. We moved into this building a year ago. That's change. That's just us. We've talked a lot about that. But every minister of music that is listening to us right now, or pastor, or anybody involved in worship ministry in any way, a singer, a musician, you're probably going through some change in your context.
Always,
at
always.
Your church.
You know, you mentioned a new president that will be coming to Lifeway sometime this year. We don't even know who it will be. No one knows. We have a search committee and they don't, for some reason, Brian, they're not consulting me and you. I don't get that.
But that's right.
But there's no question that a new leader, God's man, will have a different vision, will have a new set of priorities.
Different giftedness.
Different gifts, et cetera, and will be in a season of change. Yeah. So it's just inevitable that if you are in a ministry position and you're dealing with people and you're dealing with a community that changes and a pastor that changes and all the things, that you're going to have some skill around navigating change.
Right. And so that's what we want to talk about today, is navigating change in your ministry. And sometimes that change is significant. Sometimes it's more subtle. But no matter what, the change is constant. And it is always important that we are intentional about the way that we manage change and that we know how to lean on God during those times.
No question. And the truth of the matter is that some change is strategic, where you as the leader or maybe a group of leaders decide we are going to make changes.
Right.
And you plan for them and you implement them and you have a process of change. Some changes are unplanned. And forced on you by external forces that you couldn't plan for, that you didn't see coming. And suddenly you're struck with change. So how do you navigate that? That's the topic for today.
And maybe that's a good way to start, is to talk about both of those. If you can think about a time in your ministry, let's start with the structured kind, where maybe it was the whole church staff or a committee, a specific committee, where you intentionally, you knew change was coming. It was down the road long enough where you could make a plan, develop a plan, and execute a plan. And so talk about, if you can, from your own worship ministry, for the guys out there that can relate to it, how that went, the struggles you found, the way you did it, and what worked well and what you would change.
Well, there's no question that I've been a part of those churches that made strategic changes. And some of that is like, this seems like it could be a minor thing, but it can be a very major thing when a church decides we're going to go to a different model of discipleship for Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. And we're going to actually, we've done this Sunday school approach, department approach, men's and women's classes. We've done it this way for 50 years, but we're now going to go to more of a life stage, or we're going to go to a, that's not only Sunday morning. We're going to go to a small group strategy, and it could be Saturday night or Sunday night or any night of the week. Right. And a structural change in a ministry, and discipleship ministry is one of the ways that could happen. It could happen in music ministry. It could be the kind of change where a church says, we're going to add a worship service, like Saturday night, or we're going to stop a worship service, or we're going to combine worship services. Mm-hmm. Those are the kinds of changes that can happen. Generally speaking, a church staff is in a retreat setting. The pastor is probably driving that conversation. In some settings, that pastor would, it would be a collaborative decision that a group of people reached. In other settings, there may be a pastor that walks in and says, this is what we're going to do. But generally speaking, a healthier model that I've been part of is when a group of people rally around a challenge and then identify and implement a strategy to change something to address the challenge that's in front of them.
So, Mike, the challenge you just put there, that particular kind of change in the illustration you gave, that's the Sunday school department. It's the education ministry. That doesn't really apply to me as a worship
leader.
Well,
absolutely it does. And if you're part of a church, that'd be like saying, I've got a broken foot and my other foot doesn't care, you know, that
right.
Both feet care if one of them's broken, or the rest of my body doesn't care that I have stitches in my head.
Right.
That's silly. If you're part of a church, every change is a change that impacts you. And I guess that's a good point to make right off the bat, is that we are constantly navigating change in the form in a church setting. And when you're part of a team that's executing a strategy around church health and the church being and doing what God's put the church to be and do, put it there to be and do, then you've got to be able to identify those things really quickly and be part of a solution and not be part of a challenge related to change. And so that the first point I would make is you've got to know your why.
Yeah,
I think that's one of the biggest mistakes churches make when they go into a season of change, is sometimes we can on a human level say, I don't know what needs to change around here, but something does. Mm. And we don't really have a why. We just have change for the sake of change. And change for the sake of change is never a great idea. I mean, there's got to be a why, and the energy that leaders should get around a solution that they're trying to identify in a change environment. Why? Why do we want to change? Because I want to tell you, there are a lot of worse things a church can do than not changing something.
Right.
You better have a why that matters.
Yeah.
And change needs to be essential.
Yeah.
I think the change needs to be essential before you pursue it and embrace it. And if it's not an essential change, you ought to strongly consider maybe not doing that.
Mike, an illustration I'm thinking of right now, we were in a meeting actually here at Lifeway, and this was years ago, and a leader asked everyone in the room, what do you call your educational ministry on Sunday morning? And I remember a leader who was actually on our team at the time said, well, all of the leaders call them life groups. All of the people call it Sunday school. There is a change that there was no why. The people didn't. Yeah. Because that's one of the ways you'll know you haven't changed effectively. You haven't effectively taught the people the why, is if they honestly refuse to change. If the only people changing are the staff and not the people, then you know you've done a bad job of saying why.
And I'll tell you, think about a huge decision like, we're going to start a new service.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
All right. So if you don't have, if somebody says, well, why? If you don't have a really good answer to that question, If your answer is just, well, we feel like we need to start a new service so we can grow or so we can reach a different group, I mean, you start drilling down into your why, and you're gonna find out really quick whether or not this is a good idea to do this or not.
Yeah, because you're doubling the work of most of your volunteers, exactly, at least early on.
Or you're doubling the work without more volunteers, and right, right, and you're creating a whole new set of issues. So navigating change starts right there. Why? Yeah. Why change? Why? What's the purpose? What's the point? What's the strategic reason that change is something you're going to plan to do?
Yes. And I mean, Mike, I think you would agree with me. There better be a discipleship reason. It better be a biblical reason.
It's got to be a better reason than a convenience or something that is a short-term solution of something. It really needs to matter. Your why is very, very important.
Yeah. So can you think of a church that went through a change like that, Mike, that you served, and the ways you navigated that? Maybe well, or maybe not.
Yes.
Would you like to share it with the listening audience of the Worship Life podcast?
Maybe not. Maybe.
Oh, okay.
Well, you know what? I've done this in there have been times I've been part of a management of a change that went very poorly, and we didn't have our act together. We didn't have our why figured out. We didn't have our purpose. We weren't good at communicating. And then I've been part of churches that did a very effective job of navigating huge change. So the why is really important. And then the second thing is the ability to articulate the why. The flow of communication to the people that you're leading is so critically important.
Right. And so that starts, Mike, really with the staff, right?
It does.
If you're not speaking with one voice, if your why is different than the youth minister's why, and that's different than the children's pastor's why,
or worse,
you're gonna be
than
in trouble.
That, I actually heard a staff member of a church recently talk about a change that the pastor said they were going to make. Mm-hmm. And this person and a large group of people said, and I don't know why we're doing this.
Oh my
goodness. And I wanted to stand up and say, oh, my dear brother, can we walk out in the hall just for a moment? Yeah. It may very well be true that you don't know why.
Yes.
But the last thing you want to tell your people is you don't know why. That's a leader that's looking for a safe covering. Mm-hmm. Maybe they don't agree with the decision and they don't want to be negative, which certainly they don't need to be, but you sure don't need to put out there anything that is different than a united front on any kind of change. I've got a story about this, maybe too long to tell for this podcast, but I'll never forget this story of a situation where a pastor was navigating a relocation of a church. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to a member of that church who was very trusted and a respected layperson in that church, and he did not understand the why. He was questioning the why, but he actually made this statement to me. He said, what are you going to do? You don't know the why. You don't feel like you can agree with the why. He said, you know what? I don't get the why, but I love my pastor and I trust him, and I'm going to support what he's saying and the leaders that are around him saying, because they're my leaders. Right. All right. So that's a culture. I would say to the pastor in that situation, hey, communicate a little better with leaders like this.
Sure.
But I would also say they're doing something right too, because there's a why. And even you need to completely communicate it, but the pastor had a trust factor. Right. You got to know how much you got in the bank.
Yeah.
When you're planning for a change.
That's right.
You know, Brian, you said today, hey, write me a check for $10,000. Well, I could do that. It'd be easy to do. Give me a pen. Give me my checkbook. I could write you a check for $10,000. Now, only one of us know whether or not I have that in the bank. And there are a lot of leaders out there that try to write a check on change.
Yes.
That you don't have enough of a balance in your leadership account to draw from to write the check you want to write.
Yes.
You got to know how much you got in the bank.
And Mike, what I'm immediately thinking about, you've had this happen to you, I've had it happen to me. A lot of times as a minister of music, sometimes we're brought in to be the change agent.
Yes.
And I think that can work if the pastor has the kind of credibility you're talking about, if his accounts with his people are such that I can come into the situation and rely on the pastor's account that he has built up with these people over the years. If that's not there, If the pastor doesn't have the absolute trust of his people, there's nothing I'm going to be able to do about it.
Vicariously, I don't. Yeah. And as a matter of fact, Brian, I mean, that example hits a little too close to home for me.
Yeah.
Because I actually made that mistake in a church that I went to, where the pastor, the leaders that asked me to come, the people I met with, asked me to come to change the way they do music.
Yeah.
And I thought I could do that. But now here's the key. The key is not only the credibility of that leader that I'm vicariously going to be depending on to navigate change with, but the ability to clearly communicate to the church where we're going.
Yes.
So you've got your why, but the next W I was going to share is the where. Not just why are we changing, yeah, but where are we going?
Yeah, that's good.
And being able to know where there. Look, I know churches that have made decisions to change, but they didn't have what they were going to change to really mm-hmm. clearly yep. identified. And now they're wandering in the wilderness and nobody will even know if you get there because you haven't even.
That's good.
So here's why we're going to do this. Here's what we're going to do. Here's where we're going.
Yeah,
here's what we're. And all of that comes back to communication. You know, in the book Worship Essentials, I have a chapter called Artists and Shepherds. And I want to say something to every church leader that's out there. If you're trying to navigate change, you will not navigate a music or worship change with an artist leading it. Artists aren't wired to lead change. You got to have a shepherd leading change. Now, they can be artistic. They better be if they're a music ministry. Mm-hmm. But it takes a shepherd to lead change. And if you're not a shepherd, you need to get a shepherd or have a shepherd nearby to help you navigate and lead a flock of people that are moving in a different direction. So you got to have your why, you've got to have your what, you've got to have your where are we going. Mm. All of those things are really, really critical in navigating change. You want another W?
Absolutely.
When.
When, W-H-E-N.
W-H-E-N. Okay. So, you know why you want to change. You know what you're wanting to change. You know where you're trying to go.
And man, is that that one? I'm still stuck on Mike.
Where you want to go?
That's great.
And we could probably spend a podcast on identifying the goal of where you're trying to go and
so
what's
you know
worthy
when you
to
pursue.
What's worthy to pursue and what's a waste of time to pursue.
Amen.
But the win is where that's an intangible that some leaders can have a good sense about. Others leaders don't. You've got to be able to look around your church. And you've got to know, is this the right time for this kind of change? And then when you say, when, do I have the leaders in place to do what it is I want to do? Is this, you kind of measure the culture of what you're going to do. Because I want to tell you, any leader out there, you may think you're in a place where, man, we got to change things around here. I want to tell you, you can absolutely do a lot of worse things than not changing something.
Mm-hmm.
Changing at the wrong time, headed the wrong direction with the wrong message for the wrong reasons, you can actually make things a whole lot worse than they are. So when is a really important, and when is going to be dictated by, do I have the leaders? Do I have the momentum? Do I have the resources? Do I have the clear objective? Is that solid? Do I have these other things settled? When the timing of it. And I would say with the when, this is part of a how part of the answer to the question, but how does it start with W, Brian? So I couldn't use that. But the when, one of the things about the when is you always have to navigate change from where you are right then.
Yeah.
So that means one of the really smart things to navigate change is nail the now and have a really good sense of where you are now and plan your navigate your change from your present.
Yeah.
Here's a mistake some people will make, and I'm sure there are people listening to this that have seen a similar mistake to this. That person that says, "We're going to start a contemporary service, and in 3 months on this Sunday at 8:30, we're now going to have a contemporary service." So they've established the when. They may even have who. They better be telling why. The why is going to be critically important to do that. And it better be something that's better than, we just don't want to make, there's a lot of people that want traditional music and we're just trying to keep everybody happy.
Yeah.
You got to have a lot better why than that.
Yeah.
But the mistake they make is the timing is off because they don't have an authentic way to pull that off because they don't have the leaders to do it well.
Right.
And so their win is all out of whack. They think now's the time, urgent. We got to change now.
Yeah.
Man, you don't even have anybody that can spell contemporary music, much less go in there and lead that service well. So Mike, so the win's so critically important.
Yeah, I'm getting the NASCAR launch in my head and, you know, the countdown. And they're doing all of these checks. And anybody who knows NASA, they'll scrub a launch in a minute if they're not ready
they
to launch.
They've got to be ready.
And you've got to be willing to scrub it.
You
and
said NASCAR. I bet NASA. You meant NASA.
NASA.
But you know, the drag racing car would have the same thing.
Same
that lighting trees coming down to green, and you hadn't cranked the car yet.
Dude, I mean, it is so. Yeah. And you've got to be willing and ready to scrub it if you're not ready. Another thing, Mike, I was thinking about when you were talking about the wind is just that spiritual discernment. Man, you'd better be on your knees, and you'd better be really sure that this is, because change is hard on everyone. God does require it of us, and He is sanctifying us, and He is changing us, and He is purifying us. And so it's a natural God-honored process. But boy, you'd better be really sure that this is where God wants you to go, and that now is the time that He wants you to go there, that you know where you're headed. And that and so just constantly staying in the Word, staying on your knees, and staying in communication with God so that He can help give you that spiritual discernment to know when.
I'll give you a really easy way to identify how hard change can be in a church. Is this Sunday, convince 5 or 10 people to go sit in seats that they know other people typically sit in.
Yeah.
And do that before the service starts.
Yeah.
And just sit back and watch people arrive and they come in. Now, we laugh about that and joke about it. There's a big joke in my home church. People kid my mom and daddy about sitting in the same seat every time. And but that's a funny kind of a thing that we mock a little bit. But it represents a real truth that if you can't even move people where they're sitting without a reaction, how much more do you think changing the music style or moving the order of service around drastically or somehow navigating or instituting a big change in the way you do music, how do you think that's going to go over if you don't have your why, your what, your who, your when? All of those things have got to be in place before you implement change. And you've got to start where you are. You cannot lead. I've said this a lot of times. I know it's cliche sounding. It is so true. You cannot lead who you wish was there.
You can't.
Oh, if we'll do this, then this whole group of people will come. No, they won't. They're not coming. You will not attract a millennial with a worship style that's inauthentic to who your church is. Because when they walk in the door and see you trying to do that, they're going to know that's not who you are.
Yes.
You're not going to do it well. And it's actually going to be a repulsion to the people you say you are doing in order to attract. And you're not going to attract a new generation or a new influx of people by going out and getting some hired music gun to come in and wow everybody with a performance. You might get them there a few times. You're not going to build a church that way. It's much deeper than that, much more significant than that. And you've got to navigate those kind of changes with a lot of shepherding skill.
Amen. I know that those of you out there listening to this Worship Life podcast, you've been through change yourself. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love for you to email us and let us know some of the things you've learned over the years as you've navigated change. We'd love to hear the stories of ways that's gone well and ways that it hasn't. And you can share those with each other at the Worship Life blog, worshiplife.com. You can share them with us at worship@lifeway.com. Also, we'd love to hear you share with us how we can pray for you specifically. Please interact with us on our social media platforms, Facebook and Instagram and the other places you can find us. We just want more and more people to be drawn into this conversation about worship, and in particular, this topic of navigating change that's so essential. For Mike Harlan, this is Brian Brown saying thanks for joining us on the Worship Life podcast. We'll be back together to talk about worship again very soon.